My name is Jacob. I am 17 years old. Today is February the 12th, and I'm speaking with Juju, who is my grandmother, and we are recording this interview in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
Well, I was one of five children. Five little girls, and then later we had a little brother, so very happy, loving family. Had to really maneuver to get one-on-one time with my dad. That was always my goal, trying to find some time for him, just me and him, you know?
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful mom, and we went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. The church door was open, we were there. My mother was in the choir her whole life, and loved to sing and play the piano. She actually had me 2 years of piano, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing. I just couldn't stick with it. I didn't want to do it, so she was very disappointed. Out of five girls, she didn't have anybody that would play the piano, you know. And then when Tim was born, he came later, we were all... The youngest girl was 7. We were 2 years apart. We were like 7, 9, 11, 13, 15 when Tim was born. So we finally had our little brother, and he was our baby, and everybody fought over who was going to get to take care of him and take him outside. I mean, he was like our little doll, you know, a live doll.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had a very happy home. We got to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we'd do things like that. We didn't have big vacations, but we'd have long weekends because my dad was self-employed, so it wasn't like, if he was away from work, then he didn't make money, so it was hard for him to take off a lot of time. So,
right.
But, and he was wanted a boy all those years, and so I remember when I was about 14 or 15, I started playing girls softball, and you know, he worked a job all week, physical job on the building houses and stuff, you know. And he'd come home with his muscle shirt, he had a sleeveless muscle shirt, and his khaki pants, and his boots. And he was so awesome. I just thought he was just, he was my idol, you know, he was just my idol. And I would tell him about that, and I was going to be the pitcher. So every afternoon after he worked 8 or 9 hours, he'd come home and stay out in the front yard and pitch with me. And it was just my moment with him. And I just always remember that. So, and my mom was just, you know, she wasn't the greatest cook or housekeeper or anything, but she was the best mother ever. She would gather her little five little girls around her with books, and we'd read, and we'd color and tell stories. And it wasn't, there was no video games, there was no TV, nothing. It was all in your own little head, what you did. I think that was really good for all of us.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, we made up games that we played outside. We played, it wasn't so dangerous in the world when I was little. So we'd play, neighborhood was full of kids, and we would play hide and seek, and we'd have a big street light, and that was home base.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd play all kind of games out there at night, you know.
Just like me, Jet, and Lana would. At that house.
Yeah, when I had my house, y'all had a great time in that backyard. Yeah, y'all with those sticks and gumballs and get under the azalea bushes and get under the patio. I know, I love that for y'all. I hated to leave that house because of that, because all those games we played on the driveway. Yeah. Foursquare. Remember Foursquare? Four of course, basketball, but
yeah.
Kickball.
Baseball out
there. Yeah, y'all had those plastic bats and balls, and I just remember after a while y'all got so good, man, I'd throw the ball and I'd duck because it was coming back hard. I remember that really well. I just loved all that, being with you boys. I got so lucky that I could spend that time with y'all, because I know a lot of grandparents don't, just like Larry's, he's never been around his kids when they were little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're teenagers and, you know,
growing up.
Unfortunately, you know, he never got to experience all those things that I did. I'm very lucky that happened. It was a highlight of my life.
That was fun.
When y'all were born, I just thought, gosh, I had it all. Had a wonderful husband, a beautiful home, all these little grandchildren being born, and my life couldn't have gotten any better. That was the best of my life right then.
Yeah.
Me and Jody watched a video of that we had made of our yard when, and my mosaics and everything, and me and Jody sat there and, you know, both got kind of sad about it, and I went, you know, those were the best years of my life right there. Probably not his. I mean, he's got his family now, but, you know, my life, when I had it all.
We would have all those family functions over there.
Yeah, because, you know, we had always had Thanksgiving there, and we always had Easter. Had most of all the birthdays there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great house. I miss it. I miss it right now. I didn't miss all that yard work, you know, when I was by myself. That was hard. Even though your dad came over and cut the grass and everything off, those millions of flower beds everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That got to be too much for one person to handle. I didn't like working that hard in the yard. Okay, well, you got any questions for me? Are you...
Yeah. Okay. I got questions.
Okay.
Okay. So, I've never met, like, your grandparents or great-grandparents.
No, of course not.
So, like, what were they like?
My dad's parents were, they lived here in Memphis. And, you know, the relationship you and I have, you know, we were close all through our life. But with my grandmother, she had, like, 25 grandchildren, you know. I mean, there were six kids, and my dad had five siblings, and all of them had a bunch of kids. It was just a big family. So I never had that relationship. I had one, every once in a while I would spend the night over there, and I had one memory that we, she was on Jackson Avenue. Of course, that's not the place you'd want to be now, but she didn't drive. And we went out on Jackson Avenue, stood at the bus station, and caught a bus and went all the way downtown to a little tea shop and sat, you know, like a little bar, and had chicken salad or something. And I just remember thinking, oh, I'm really living big these days. I remember that, but that was my really memory of us actually having a close, being close.
Right.
But she was a very, I admire her so much. She lived to be 96 years old.
Golly.
And she got married really young as a teenager and had a baby. And the husband she had was real abusive. I mean, he was really, I guess, she was in fear of her life and her baby's life. And I just think of this, and I just think how awesomely, how brave this woman was. She hitched up her mules to a wagon, and there was no car, and took her baby and a bag of clothes, and she left him. And that was unheard of back early 1900s. I just didn't do that. And she came to Memphis, and she found a job in cleaning houses or working in a restaurant somewhere. It was manual work, and she met my grandfather. Actually, it wasn't Memphis, it was Tupelo, Mississippi. And she met my grandfather, and she remarried, and then she had the four sons and two daughters. But anyway, and then my grandfather died really young, 54 years old. He had a stroke. So here she was, uneducated. She didn't even have a driver's license. All of a sudden, she's on her own. She didn't have money to live the rest of her life. So she got her driver's license, and she sold that house and bought a big house that had about five or six bedrooms, a big old two-story house in Midtown, and she took in boarders. She had about four men that lived upstairs, and she cooked a breakfast every morning in her dining room and a dinner at night. It was room and board, what they paid. And that was her living. That's how she made her money to pay for her house.
That's pretty cool.
And I can remember when we made this trip, She was a terrible driver, and she had this little tiny garage. I mean, it was about this much space on either side. I don't know if I could have even got in and out of it. So her car just had all these scrapes up and down the side. And my husband at the time was in the military, and he was in North Carolina, and her daughter lived there. And she goes, she was going to make the trip. She asked me to go with her. So we were going to take turns driving. You know, North Carolina was pretty good ways.
Yeah.
And I did not want her to drive. And your dad was a baby. He was like 1 or 2 years old. And he had, I even put a little potty seat in the car so we could, he was being potty trained. He was about 2, I guess. And we tried to drive straight through. And I mean, I've got the pedal to the metal. I'm hauling. You know what? Because I wanted to get out of that car and get there. And she'd be sitting there on the driver's side, and all of a sudden, she said, "How fast are you going?" I said, "It's okay, I'm fine." And all of a sudden, she'd go, "Lean over real quick," and try to see. And she went, "Juliet, you slow down." And I would try to back off. Everyone's trying to watch her so I could let off the gas a little bit when she's trying to see her. But I never did let her drive. I'd stop. I'd say, "Here, let's go to the bathroom." And she'd try to drive, and I'd say, "No, no, I'm good, I'm good." I did not want her to drive. I didn't think we'd ever get there as it was, you know.
Mm.
But that was another memory I have of my grandmother, because she was pretty, she was getting pretty old then. But she lived to be 96, and then my mother's mother, she had a big family. And both my grandfathers died in their 50s. Both of them died really young. And both of the grandmothers lived to be in their 90s. So think about that. They lived another lifetime. After their husbands died, neither one of them remarried. I think my mother's mother, I think he was 62. And the other, my grandfather was like 54 or something, 56 or something. That's pretty young.
Yeah.
So both of those women carried on, you know, for the rest of their lives. She lived to be 92. So both my grandparents, grandmothers, maybe there's a long life in there for me. You think I'll hang in there that long?
I think you for sure.
Just out of meanness, I'll do it, right?
No. You're so healthy.
Well, I, you know, and you know, Larry's a really good influence. He, you know, he doesn't eat meat. I don't think that's what makes you healthy or unhealthy, but he's a good eater.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, and he's a good influence on me when I just want to go in there and get that pie every night. Mm-hmm. He won't do it, and then I feel bad. I feel like I shouldn't do it, so I don't do it. So he's a good example. But we take a lot of supplements. We do a lot of, I read numerous health blogs. That's why I'm always lecturing y'all about what you should and shouldn't eat. And so I've got us on some good supplements, and we're trying to stay healthy for as long as we can and be vital people.
Right.
You know? Because, I mean, we're both pretty healthy, and we're both, God, he's so intelligent and so articulate. I wish
I can tell. Like, when he was talking about, like Alaska earlier, yeah, and like all that. I don't, he just knows a lot about everything.
Yeah, he's a very knowledgeable person, and that's why he doesn't, he's probably going to move to Memphis, and hopefully down the road, hopefully that'll happen. I don't want to say the word, but but he's pretty much made up his mind. His business was kind of dying off there, and so, but he don't want to sit around and do nothing. He wants to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're 70 years old, you go apply for a job. I mean, come on. But he had a lot of contacts through being an alumni of Memphis football program that he's talked to some of these people, and he's got referrals, and he went and talked to one of the biggest commercial real estate companies, to the president of the company yesterday, and he's got another appointment tomorrow. And nothing may come of this. A lot of these referrals are just out of respect for him and just, you know, but you know, I still think though he could really contribute because he's very knowledgeable, and he really knows how to talk to people. And
yeah.
So it would be to someone's advantage, even if it's just for a few years, you know, then wind down into his retirement. You know, the reason I don't want him to retire is I want him to be able to go see his kids more. He's only got one sister, and she's in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm.
Other daughters and Indianapolis, the other daughters in Florida, which is not a bad place to go visit.
Yeah, you like Florida.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I just think that'd be really great if we could just head out and just go see them and stay as long as we wanted to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
That would be cool. All right. Okay. Tell me
Let's try to keep it to like two or three of your like favorite memories of me. When I was like little or like with you or whatever.
Well, I normally had all y'all together, mm-hmm. but you being my firstborn, you were always the special one, you know. Of course, yeah. Landon came real close behind you, but I can remember when you were just, what, 2, 3, 4 months old, and your you are a piece of work, and your mom didn't know much, you know, your mom, she didn't know much about taking care of a baby. She'd never had one before, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would come by there because I was always running. As Jet said, I was just driving around all over town doing whatever. And I would go over there because I'd call and say, "Well, how's it going?" "Oh, yeah, I don't know." I said, "Well, I'll come by." And you would just be all over the place like a little wild thing, you know. And she couldn't get you to settle down and go to sleep. I just remember holding you. You were the first. You were the only grandchild, and I just remember holding you and just looking at you and couldn't believe that you were here. And you were beautiful, and you were already knew you were smart. But and then I think some of the other times when I used to pick you three guys up, and you know, I just got that car. I just got my MDX. You know, it's all leather seats and everything. Yeah. And y'all had your feet on the back of the seat.
I remember.
And I would say, I was just fussing constantly. And then you put your hands on the windows, you know, put your hands over the windows, and I'm going, you know, my beautiful car, you know, and I'd say, tell you, I just remember you just got exasperated because you were tired of hearing it. And you just sat there a minute and you went, "Well, Juju, all you have to do is get a rag and wipe it off." But the most precious moment, I'm sure you have no memory of it, but one of the most special things ever. I felt like I bonded with you like I'd never bonded with you before, but it was just a year or two after Laker died, and y'all were going to Florida, and I went with you. I made the trip with you, and we'd all been on the beach all day, and everybody started to pack up to go, and it was getting close to the sunset, and I just remember saying, "Oh, I want to watch the sunset." And everybody was kind of getting up to go. And you went, "I'll stay with Juju. I'll watch the sunset." And I just remember getting in the sun like that. And you were sitting here, and we were like this. You were back to me. And I had my arms around you, and you had your arms on me. And we watched the sunset. And I can just remember the most incredible feeling of just bonding. Like, this is my boy forever. You kind of thing. I mean, it was really special. I'm sure 5 years old, you're not going to remember that, but it was a moment. It was a moment because you did not care about running around or getting in the water or running after your parents. You wanted to sit there with me and watch the sunset. And it was really special. It really was. That's my favorite moment that we've been together. It really was. I thought, my heart's gonna burst. I don't think I can love anymore. There's so much love in my heart for this little boy.
You can't make me cry.
Well, it was special. And I told your mom about it a year later, and she just, I think she was almost jealous of it, you know, but of course she's had a million moments like that with you, but that was my real moment. And I never had a moment like that with Landon or Jet. Not that I don't love him any more or less, you know, but but we had a moment. We really did. We really did.
That was really nice. Okay. So this is about your biggest influences in your life. I know your dad was one, but who would you say was your other, like, biggest influence on your life?
Well, Ralph and Prudy pretty much were
the two, yeah.
Yeah, but my dad, it's something about a mother and a son and have a special relationship, just like a mother and a son and a father and a daughter, just like Jody and Lillian are just like that, you know, and Amanda and Landon are really tight. They, you know, it's just a special relationship. And my dad, he was just perfect in my eyes, you know. And he was my hero, always. And I'm trying to think, you know, who else would have been a hero? My grandmother that I told you about. Yeah. I admire her strength, and she didn't ask anybody to take care of her, or I need help, or I can't do this. She got down there and started cooking all those huge meals for 10 or 12 people every morning and every night, and cleaned those rooms and paid those bills. And ugh. I mean, she was awesome. I've always respected her, even though I didn't have a super close relationship with her. You know, like I feel like I have, you know, with you guys. Like, I don't feel like I ever had that much time with her. Well, I've never had one-on-one time with her like that. Because usually when we were over there, there was a million kids, her grandkids everywhere, you know. So it wasn't like, but anyway, but I still respected her tremendously when I heard her story and when I saw what she did. And pretty amazing. I know there's got to be something else, somebody else in my life that I look up to, but it's not coming to me right now.
Well, that's fine.
I, you know, my husband liked her. I mean, he kind of came along in my life when I really needed him, and he became so much to all of y'all. I mean, you don't remember it much, but because of Jeff and Jody not ever having a dad, you know, for him to come along, even though they were grown, basically, but he became that go-to guy for them. I mean, he might have been, they didn't call him dad, but they knew if they needed anything, all they had to do is call him. And he would have been there for them, and he was so good to me, so generous and so kind to all of my family. He just embraced my family and became everything to everybody, you know? And my dad and mom just loved him because they saw me being deliriously happy, you know, after all those hard years I had, you know, unhappy marriages and single years. And so, I mean, he was just a pretty great guy, and I've never gotten over his death because it wasn't just me that got hurt. It was your dad and Jody. They finally had somebody that loved them and would do anything for them and would help them if they needed anything. They finally had that. Gosh, you know, I just thought, I stayed mad at God for a long time. I just thought, that's so wrong. You know, I've waited all this time for a good man in my life. I finally have one. Everything's wonderful. My kids love him. He's so good. Oh, and your mom and Amanda adored him. And he couldn't do enough for you little boys. I mean, he used to break my heart when we'd go walking across that football field with one chair in my hand coming to see y'all's games. And I'm thinking, because he loves sports, and he just thought the world of y'all. And I thought, God, Laker, you would love this so much. You would love this so much. And I just felt like you got deprived of a great-grandfather. Your dad got deprived of, like, the closest thing to a daddy he'd ever have. So I was very angry for a long time. I mean, I still get angry about it because it just wasn't right. I thought I'd paid my dues, you know, and everybody lost, not just me. Yeah. So he did so much for y'all. He did so much for me and my boys that I'll always, he would be my hero always too.
Yeah, could be a whole other, like, we could talk forever about
him. Oh yeah, there's a million stories about him. And if you ever want to see the video of his, you know, I didn't have a funeral.
Oh yeah, I remember. I've seen a little bit of it.
Okay, yeah. If you want to know what people really thought about him, it's the coolest thing to watch. But it's also very sad. So it's, you know, but he did so much for everybody. You know, and he's the one that, you know, bought that wonderful house and had always wanted the family there. And, you know, and the most, of course, it's a different life when you have grandkids. But when your mom and dad and Jody and Amanda were married but no kids yet, the six of us, we threw down. We had some just unbelievable times. But your dad and your kid, everybody would come over to our house on Christmas Eve, all of them, and we'd just party all night. We'd be drinking Crayon. In fact, half the time they couldn't just spend the night, you know? We just had fun. We had fun together. So he's probably the other person that, and now Larry's heard me talk. I've told him a lot about it, and he calls it Camelot. Those were your Camelot years, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything was beautiful. And then the long 11 years have gone by, and then I finally, and that's one of the things that attracted me to him. He's so much like Laker. I mean, not all the way in looks or anything, but their personalities, their generosity, their kindness, their loving, they're both, he's just like him. So, and not liking, he's got that same
right
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great guy, just a great guy. Just wish he'd come along a little sooner for y'all. Y'all could have gotten, maybe built a real relationship with him, you know.
We still got time for that.
Well, you know what Lillian told me one day? I thought I was going to, my heart would break. Juju, I wish I had a grandfather. She don't have one. She's got me. That's it. And I remember thinking, honey, I've been trying to find you. It just didn't work out. But then she was telling me some story about her uncle, who was her grandfather. It would have been her grandfather's brother, and he was telling some stories. And she was telling me, I said, honey, I'm so sorry you didn't get to have that relationship. You didn't get, you know, that he didn't live to be your grandfather and all that. And she just looked at me. Kind of funny. And she went, oh, it's okay, Juju. I got you. And I went, oh, God, that responsibility just went way up there. I can't let her down. You know, I thought about moving to Nashville, you know, at one point with Larry. And after he got to know me and see me with my family, I went, Julie, I'd never ask you to do that. I can't take you away from your family, especially Lillian. You know, y'all are grown now. I mean, I had so much time with y'all, but I don't have that time with her because it's such a grind to get out there and back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost 2 hours of driving to go out there at night, you know. Well, I do keep her, like, when she's out of school, spring break and Christmas break and all that. I always have her over for a day and spend the night and stuff like that, but it's not like I have with y'all, so I feel kind of guilty. I remember fussing about when they first moved out there. You know what Landon said to me?
What?
Well, dude, you just pack a bag and spend the night.
That's something he would say.
Or stay a few nights. I actually did it at first.
I remember. Yeah, you would stay over there.
I spend the night because, golly, it was such a hassle to drive. Oh, my gosh. It still is.
I hate driving out there.
And then that awesome
those back rows.
The way you go is different than the way I go because it's down Austin Peay, and they've been working on that road forever, and they got those big concrete blocks, and it's dark out there, and it's so narrow,
mm-hmm.
and the lights coming at you blind you. If it's raining, you know, when I drive back home, I'm thinking, you know, God, please help me get home, if I can make it, so, you know. And when she starts her, I mean, I go out there once a week, and hopefully sometimes I'll see her on the weekend, too,
mm-hmm.
but, you know.
She adores you. You spend a lot. You do a lot with her.
I try to do everything I can, but
I've been jealous lately because you and her you just adore her, and she's your granddaughter.
Well,
and
see,
we're all getting older, and you just
I mean, once you get to be your age, we kind of lose you. You know, everybody. I've had talks with my friends.
I've found out. My mom has let me know.
You feel like you've kind of lost them because they're just kind of, you're busy. Mm-hmm. You have a life. You've got a girlfriend. You've got a million things going on. And I knew this. You can't hang on to your kids forever. We know this. But I know it, but it's still hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's still hard to not, you know, see as much as I used to. But I'm not complaining. I'm happy to be. The thing about it is it's not quantity of time, it's quality of time. Being able to sit and talk with you like this is quality time. So it's mm-hmm. always a good thing.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. I got like a couple more. These I have to do for like the project or whatever, but these are like the ones I've been wanting to do.
Oh, okay.
So what are like one or two of the most important lessons that life has taught you?
It's hard. Life is hard. my life has especially been hard. Two failed marriages, one very unhappy marriage with abuse involved. Second one with just craziness. And then 4 years of being single and trying to raise your dad and Jody and on my own. So life is hard. Anybody says, you know, every once in a while you hear about people that just zip through life with everything's perfect. You know, nothing ever goes wrong. You know, they never have money problems. They never have any kind of problems. And that's rare. But it's hard. And I remember telling your dad, I got a great story about him. But he, your dad was all about right and wrong, you know. And he was a rounder. He got into trouble in school. And they'd call me, and then one day I got a call from the school, and it was the principal saying, they gave licks back then. He says, we have Jeffrey in here to give him licks, and he won't let us do it. Because he said he didn't do anything wrong. But the you know, I went, well, she said, will you talk to him? I talked to him. I said, Jeff, you know, what was going on? He goes, Mom, I didn't do anything. Now, he'd done it a million times before. But he didn't do it then, and he got caught then because he was in the middle of the group that, you know. And I said, he says, Mom, it's not right. It's not right. It's not fair. I'm not going to take a look at it. You know, he just went on and on. He was so, you know your dad, so intense. Mm-hmm. And I'm at work now, talking on the phone like this, and I've got bosses on either side of me, and I'm down, you know, I'm trying to reason with him. I said, just take him and get it over. He goes, Mom, it's wrong. I didn't do it, you know. And finally, I said, put him back on the phone. And I said, he's not taking legs today. I said, if you want to have a conference or whatever we need to do, but I have to get off the phone now, and I believe him, and I don't think you should give him legs. And they didn't give him legs, but, you know, I'm sure he got written up some way, you know, it's all whatever. But he comes home, and he was telling me all that. And I said, Jeff, life is not fair. Just get over that right now. You can do everything right and bad things still happen. I said, so that was a big lesson. I knew it, but it just seeing him go through that and talking to him about it just reinforced it in my mind. It's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, bad people get away with too much stuff. And, you know, you were asking me other lessons. Let me see. Hard work does pay off. Some people think they can just skip by. Now, you are one of those, the golden child, and kind of everything you touch is golden. You don't have to work too hard in school. You were such a great athlete. You know, you're talented musically, but everybody's not like that, you know? And you know, but you have been such a great influence on Jet because he's not as smart as you are. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He's very smart. But you're above that. But he, in spite of not having the natural ability that you have in school, he wasn't going to let you be better than him.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great lesson to learn, too, because, you know, it comes easy to you, but he works really hard for it to just be equal to you.
His work ethic is definitely a lot better than mine.
Well, yeah, and but one of those reasons is, you know, it's just come easier to you. You don't have to work that hard. But he has to work really hard. So I respect people that work hard.
Yeah. And see, my thing is, since most things have come easy to me, when stuff doesn't come easier, like when I have to work hard to do something, it makes it a lot harder because I'm not used to, like,
right.
having to do that. Right. I don't want to have to do that. So
I know. And you're very lucky.
Which, that sounds so, like...
But see, it's the same thing with Luke and Jonathan. You know, Luke is just a brain, man. He's a brainiac.
He's nuts.
He is flying through pharmacy school like it's nothing. Nothing. You know. So, I mean, he's brilliant. But, okay.
I mean, I asked him to come tutor me about stuff and 11th grade, and he's like in pharmacy school, and he's having to think back to all this stuff, and he looks at it for a second, and he's like, oh yeah, and then he just starts, and I'm like, oh my god, like, there's no way.
Yeah, he's a cool kid. He works out. You know how he works out, and he goes to the club, and he don't ever do anything aerobic. He's all about bodybuilding, you know. And somebody asked him, "Why don't you ever get over there and see you do some aerobic workout?" And he says, "I don't do that." And they go, "Why not?" He went, "Well, I'll fight if you want to fight." But I'm not going to get over some stairs and climb them. He said, "I'll fight you." Is that aerobic? He's a character.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I forgot what the question was. I'm getting off.
No, you're talking about lessons. But that was, you talked about a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, just staying after it and succeeding. And, you know, the rewards are so great. When you have to work hard,
yeah,
the reward's even greater because you went, "I did it. Did it." And I'm a real determined person. I think that's where your dad, you know, nobody was going to beat me if anything, or like, you know, if my will, I could will myself to be better, you know. And he's just like me. He's loud and boisterous, and I'm like that. I mean, he's loud, unfortunately, you know. But your dad is a great guy. There's nothing that I am more proud of than your dad and Jody being the family man and the good husband that they are. I respect that so much because it's so easy not to do that. And
yeah, it is.
Half of the problem, and Jeff, he finally came out. I'd been knowing it for years, but he finally said it, that what made him such a good dad was because he didn't have one, and he didn't want his children to ever have to grow up like he did without a dad. So he was going to be the best dad, best husband, best family man. And that's a horrible way to learn that lesson for him, but that he didn't get to have it. And but it made him stronger. It made him determined to me. And you know, Jody, the same way. I mean, Jody's all about his family. That's all he cares about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that I raised two men that are such wonderful family men and husbands, it's something to be proud of. And sometimes I look around and think, how did that happen? Because I was working 2 and 3 jobs. You know, I was all over the place because, you know, trying to make ends meet. I mean, when your dad was going to college, I was a single parent. And I just had a regular old job and nothing, you know. And when it would be time for him to pay his tuition, you know, I didn't have that money. So I just have to go into my 401k, you know, which are savings for your retirement,
right. Yeah.
and pull out the money because I wanted him in school. I wanted him to stay in school, you know, and, you know, all that. It's just, it's tough. My life has been tough. It really has. The years I had with Laker, 12 years, those 12 years were the only, out of my whole life, those 12 years were the only years that were truly happy and easy, not stressful. You know, there was no money problem. There were no other issues, you know. So,
just
but, you
enjoying
know,
life.
Yeah, and so some people think, well, some people won't even get 12 years, so you should be happy. And I went, well, I'm sorry, but I'm a little more greedy than that. I really wanted it more than a few years here. But, so, I've really struggled, but I'm just saying, it forms your character, you know.
It does. I preach that.
Yeah, and I just do the right thing. That's all I can say, do the right thing. You know, and kids your age know. They know what's the right thing. They know. They might try to skip around it and say, well, I didn't know, but you do know. You know what's right and what's wrong. And that's what you try to stay on that path. You stay on that path, and we got out last night, and there's this kid waiting on us, and I could tell he was new, and he was kind of nervous, and we started talking to him a little bit, and this was a real nice restaurant, Seasons 52, a very elegant restaurant, and I said, well, he said, I'm new. I said, well, he said, I came from East End Grill, and I thought, oh my God, because it's like a biker bar, you know, it's a rough place for him to go there, for go from there to this place. I'm thinking, how in the world did he pull that off? And they must have been desperate for people or something. But he was real nice. And I said, he goes, do you got any advice? I said, yeah, I do. I said, the the best thing you can do is just be polite. Be kind to people. Don't roll your eyes. I said, just, you know, I said, that was quite a leap to come from that restaurant to this one. So you should do your best to hang on to this job. It's a really good job. He went, he says, I am. I'm working hard. And I said, we'll give you a good referral. But, you know, I don't meet a stranger, anybody like that I can sit there and talk to, you know. So, you know, I just want, one thing about you boys that pleases me so much is you're all well-mannered. You know, I don't ever want to see anybody let a door, I mean, kids today, it just freaks me out. They just let a door go in your face and, mm-hmm. you know.
Not paying attention to anything.
Yeah, you just be, I already know you have that. All y'all do. Y'all got manners, and your parents are, they ought to be acknowledged for that.
Yeah.
Even though I threatened you with your life if you didn't open the door for somebody.
You wouldn't. You not. That's a little exaggerated. Okay. So this is, I'm about to read you something from a poem.
Okay.
And it's about the Titanic sinking. And basically, like, the gist of the poem is that, like, the Titanic is, like, this great thing that people said was, like, oh, this is the greatest ship. Like, it's never, it's unsinkable, whatever, and doesn't even make its first trip. So, like, it's about, like, the vanity and, like, pride of humanity, you know, and stuff that doesn't really matter. And so one of the parts of the poem says, dim moon-eyed fishes near gaze at the gilded gear, which is, like, the, like, precious stuff from the ship that is, like, mm-hmm. down at the bottom of the ocean, and query, What does this vaingloriousness down here? So, like people hold so much value to this, like, jewelry and stuff up there, but, like, now that it's out of the ocean, like, what value does it have besides what we give it? So, like, my question is, what are some things that society says is valuable, but in your opinion, it really isn't? What are some things that society makes really important?
Well, really, I mean, material things are wonderful. We all like to have that hot car, a gorgeous piece of jewelry, or whatever, or a beautiful home. I mean, material things are great, but if you don't have your health and you don't have love in your life, none of those things, they're just things. But mm-hmm. until you have someone that you can love and take care of, you know, and that you get that back from them, that's the only thing that matters. And it took me a long time to figure that out, because I wanted the big house. I wanted the BMW. I wanted all the nice things. But
you wanted a clean BMW.
yeah. But it really, none of those things matter. You know, and if Larry were to ask me to marry him, I mean, I wouldn't even care if I don't need a diamond ring. Or I just, give me a little gold van, I'm happy. I mean, none of those things matter to me anymore. I mean, yeah, I kind of would like to have a newer car, but, you know, I mean, that's just normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just the value in life is love and family. That's the value. It's not rings and cars and homes and fur coats. And it's none of those things. Value in life is having love in your heart, which you definitely have, and love around you and caring people that love you. I mean, that's all that really matters when you get right down to it. If I could choose one or the other, I would choose being broke and have love, though, if I had to, you know.
Absolutely.
So, that's my answer.
I like that answer. And, you know, even if, like, you don't have, like, all the love from, like, other people at any point, you know, I was going to my man upstairs.
That's,
you know,
right. And I meant that when I said you have, that's what I was talking about, when you said love in your heart, you have, yeah.
That's comes right. from God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the older I get, the more I realize that, and, you know, and I'm content, you know, because now I do have love, and my really, I mean, I always was so lucky, even though Laker was gone, I still had the most wonderful family. And so many good friends that supported me. But when it gets right down to it, you know, it's that one person you really want, you know, that partner in life that, mm-hmm. that really matters. All of the rest is wonderful, and y'all sustained me. My bad.